You're listening to Wanderlust Diaries, the ultimate travel podcast for solo female travellers 40 and beyond who are ready to explore the world. Join me, Terry Reynolds, where we talk all things travel and why it's so important and what's stopping you from getting out there and exploring the world. We'll discuss the steps you can take now to fix it, empowering you to ignite your curiosity and set your heart free so that you have the confidence to travel wherever you want, whenever you want. Offering insights, tips, hacks, and remarkable women's stories along the way. So come on, grab your passport, pack your sense of adventure, and get ready to be inspired. Whether you're a first-time solo traveller or a seasoned globetrotter, Wanderlust Diaries is your community of like-minded souls, uplifting and supporting women over 40 who dare to explore. Welcome to this episode of Wanderlust Diaries. Today we're talking to Jennifer Louise about travelling the North Coast 500 in Scotland in the UK. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is so exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing everything about it, hearing about your trip. But before we start, would you like to tell us a little bit about you?
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for having me, Terry. I was really looking forward to today. As you said, my name is Jennifer Louise. I am, first of all, wife and mum to two children. And I own a hairdressing salon and a coaching company for salon owners, teaching them how to grow and market their business. So that's me. I'm really excited to start digging out some little gems for your listeners so that they can perhaps take them on a little journey of their own.
Love that. That's going to be great. Yeah, I'm really interested to find out about this trip because it's something I might want to do myself.
Oh, you will, trust me.
So, okay then, let's start with from a lovely, smart, comfortable salon up to Scotland doing the North 500. So why? I mean, what inspired you to do that, and what preparation did you have to do, like mentally and physically, before you set off?
Okay, so there is two parts to Jennifer Louise. There's the salon owner, businesswoman that wears her nice clothes and likes to look good. And there's this part of me that loves hiking, loves climbing up mountains, loves walking in any weather, just spending time outdoors. There's a real sense of freedom. And I think part of that trip was that I built a business to create freedom. And business has been hard for everybody in the last few years. And that freedom I've kind of now found through traveling and doing other things that I wouldn't necessarily have normally done. Couple that with our dog, who loves to walk for hours and hours and hours. So it's become part of my life on a daily basis. I just really wanted to kind of expand that. Then throw into the mix, my husband is Scottish. I had visited Scotland for the very first time on the 1st of January last year, which I loved it. Glasgow was amazing. We spent New Year's there. And then Jamie was saying that there's this whole, I didn't actually realise how big Scotland was to begin with. It is so big. And there was this whole top part that he had never really kind of explored. And so he really wanted to do it. And I suppose I'm just really, really lucky that the pair of us, like, even on one of our dates, we was out walking in Epping Forest for hours and hours and hours in the pouring rain, having the best time ever.
Oh, like, you see, that's what love does.
But that's what we're like. And it's very hard to find somebody that has the very same interests as you. And I suppose the pair of us have been very lucky in that aspect. And then, then the North and NC 500 came up and both of us was like, oh my God, let's do it. Prep-wise, physically, none. But we did have to kind of figure out the route that we was going to take. We're both quite active people anyway, so we wasn't worried about fitness levels, although there was one day that we was climbing up the biggest hill ever at such a pace. Jamie's got such huge legs that he like walks so fast and I'm like running along behind him trying to catch up, and that really did throw me. So maybe I should have done a bit of prep. But just really it was just about what are we going to wear, what are we going to take, what do we want to do when we're there. And when we understood that, it was quite clear what outfits and what activewear and things that we were going to need. And then just really food and stuff, because we did it in a camper van.
I know. I need to know more about this camper van in a second. Yes. So let's talk about that then. So how did you go around the trip? Was it clockwise or anti-clockwise? Because I was reading that clockwise is if you're just doing 5 days or less, because you go up the West Coast first, and that's the most dramatic part of it. But if you're doing a bit longer, you would go the other way, anti-clockwise. So was there, did you even consider that? Did you even know about that?
I'm not sure. Jamie may have, because the way we kind of planned it was Jamie had done a bit of research, and he was like, right, these are the places that I've found that are beautiful. He knows that I'm a real, like, I love the sky when it's different colours. I love the sea. I love seeing things. So I think what he was really looking for was what sites he could find that were just phenomenal. And obviously he's been told about a few along the way as well. So the night before, we just sat there and went, right, which way, what's the best way
Stick
to go?
A pin in it.
Yeah, and literally that was it. We just kind of planned out, these are the, I did like a whole, I drew the map of the top of Scotland on a piece of paper and then plotted them all out so that we knew where they were. And then Jamie went, what are you doing? That's not the way to go at all. It makes no sense. And then he replanned the whole thing, which made perfect sense, which meant we got everything and more in it. Phenomenal. Just, yeah, it was brilliant.
And so tell me about, so when you told me that you were going off in a camper van, so straight away in my mind, I've got a 1960s, 1970s V-dub covered in flower power. No. And thinking you'd be going off with, you know, a surfboard on the top. And
so I wish, I can't surf.
So tell us about the camper van.
So it was, Jamie sourced it from one of his friends, and it was like one of those more modern motorhomes. So
very,
very
nice.
Luxurious.
Comfortable.
Yeah, I have to say. It was gorgeous inside. Like, we had everything we wanted and more. The bed kind of came down from the ceiling on like this electric thing, which was really cute. There was fridge. There was a shower in there. There was everything you could have wanted and more. You needed to kind of rock up at campsites, really, for the shower and everything to work as the best it could. But we were really hell bent on not doing that if we could help it, like really being free, because the thing in Scotland is you can park at the side of the road, turn the engine off, put the little window shields in so nobody can see you, and that's it. Like, you're free to just sleep there, which is really weird.
Amazing.
But then you wake up and you've got the sea or a mountain in front of you, or wherever you've ended up parking, and you kind of just drive until you run out of light, really.
Sounds amazing. I just want to acknowledge, because you keep talking about Jamie, your husband, and this podcast is aimed at solo female travellers, but what I want to explain is that the reason why I'm loving having you as a guest is because what I'd like to get is your perspective, you know, for female travellers, because you've already done it and you can let us know all the pitfalls, give us some tips and hacks. So we can do that a bit later. I just wanted to drop that in now, just so anybody's listening thinking, well, why is she, you know, she's not even going on her own. So I just wanted to drop that in. But no, that's so the reason I brought the camper van up as well is because when I was researching, it said the best vehicle to use was a Land Rover because of trying to get up. Now I'm going to say this and the Scottish people are going to hate me.
I couldn't even help you, and I'm married to a Scotsman.
Bellachnubber Pass. Now, I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but for people like me, the easy way to say it is the road to Apple Cross. Apparently, it's the toughest, steepest part of the route. And they were saying that, you know, to have a decent, something too big, you wouldn't get up and over. And it was showing hairpin bends as well.
Yeah, gosh,
thinking, look at those, you know, they're crazy. But obviously, the vehicle you had was absolutely fine. And yeah, didn't give you any problems.
I think one of the things that I would say about doing the NC500 is you would want to do it with somebody. Even if it was a bunch of your girlfriends, you would want to, you see so much, and so many amazing sights. And your sense of adventure really comes out of you, which means you're dropping yourself down cliffs and landing in sinking sand and
quicksand
and going under waterfalls. And some of the stuff is quite dangerous, but you just can't not do it. Like, something inside of you, just that adventure just like overtakes you.
Yes, yeah, the explorer, isn't it?
You know,
and I'm sure there's been many women who'd want to do that. It's just while you're there, you've got to do it, because if you left and hadn't done it, that's when you kick yourself.
So I think the first thing to really, really point out is, if you are planning on doing that, and you know, there were many, many women driving motorhomes. Mm. I am not one of those women. I would be driving down screaming every time someone comes anywhere near me on those bends, because the roads were quite a lot.
I was going to say, did you share the drive?
No. On the way up there, I'm thinking to myself, I'm absolutely having a go of this. Like, I've always wanted to have a go. I've always wanted to try and drive one. So I was like, perfect opportunity. And then when we got in it and I saw how difficult it was to drive, although Jamie did amazing, like just duck to water. And every time we drove past another camper van, there's this secret thing that we didn't even know was a thing, that everybody waves at you.
friendly
yeah, it's like you're part of a club because you're in a camper van. And so I did notice that quite a few times the women were driving, and I was like, my God, that's amazing.
Very brave.
Not something that I think I will do now. But yeah, I think, you know, thinking about that safety aspect, really making sure that you do go with somebody, that it is planned, that other people know where you're at. There are parts that you have no signal, potentially run out of petrol, because petrol is, and we'll talk about that probably a bit later on, but petrol is quite a thing. So there's lots of things that I think women need to really, really think about before they go.
Consider, yeah. And we'll talk about, as I said, some tips and hacks.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that towards the end. So, I mean, it sounds wonderful. It does sound wonderful. A bit crazy, but like something that you'd want to do. Did you see the Northern Lights? Is that something that you could see from there?
We didn't, no. But to be honest with you, we didn't look for them at any point, really. The van was so cosy. I thought it was going to be freezing cold. So I've got like duvets and blankets and like jogging bottoms and fluffy socks, like anything and everything I could put on. It was so cosy that we just wanted to like curl up. And actually what we did was we bought those disposable barbecues. We really wanted to go as rustic,
great idea,
as possible. And we bought those disposable barbecues, and we spent the evenings out in those little deck chairs at the side of a road, looking up at the sky, cooking steak on these barbecues and drinking wine out of a mug. It was just
phenomenal. Did you have your dogs with you?
No. So it's the first time we've ever done it. I didn't know how Rex was going to be in the camper van. And also, I think secretly, we kind of wanted a holiday.
Yes.
Away from a dogs total and break. Children.
Yes. A friend of mine, or I should say a colleague of mine, has a camper van, and she tours all over the place in hers. And she's got a dog, and the dog absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure your dogs would.
He would. Yeah. He really would. But not that time. That was our moment.
Yeah. But that sounds perfect, you know, sat in those little deck chairs, and especially with a clear sky, you'd be able to see the stars. And I just love all that. That side of things, it sounds perfect. Well, that's a shame you didn't see them, but it's one of those things, isn't it? So you mentioned the quicksand. What happened? Tell me the story about the quicksand. What happened there?
Oh, Jen just being Jen. So we wake up the night before. The weather had started to get quite bad, because we experienced every weather that you could possibly ever think about in this week. Honestly, it was just amazing. The weather had become to get quite bad, and so we'd kind of taken shelter in kind of like this, I don't know, there was like trees and that stopping us from getting the batter in from the rain and the wind. And we'd had some nice food and we'd gone to sleep and we'd woken up, and Jamie was like, right, that beach is just round there. Let's drive back slightly and just go and have a look at it. Because we couldn't find it and we was running out of light. So we parked up and we've climbed down this steep cliff's edge to go down, and kind of had to figure out how to get down there in the first place. And really, I should have been thinking, this is a beach that clearly nobody walks on, so maybe have your wits about you. But Jen being Jen is just so super excited about this beach and the sea and the rocks. And on the way down, we could hear water running. And I said to Jamie, what's that? And then we managed to spot a waterfall coming down through the trees. So on the way back, we were like, we're going to go and find that waterfall. We're going to go down there and see if we can get it. But I've grown up on the beach. I've lived on beaches my whole life, and so I think I know what I'm doing. And there's this big rock, and generally from where I've come from, the beaches that are well trodden, you could go over to the rock and there's water surrounding the rock, and you'd find some crabs and some, like, you could have a little fish around in there, and you'd find some shrimp or whatever swimming around. So I went over to look and see what wildlife was in this rock pool. And before you know it, my foot has just sunk straight through, like literally up to my knee, and I'm in this sand going,
rescue me.
Yeah, but he thinks I'm just like, I'm just being me. And as he's turned around, he's like, oh no, I've literally gone on my back. I'm laying on the sand. Luckily, as Jamie said to me afterwards, spreading your weight so you didn't end up going straight through. Mm. But it might not have been deep. It might have just been that bit, but that could have been very bad for both of us. Oh,
God, but at least there's a happy ending to that.
But the outcome for that is, like, then I was really shooken up because then I was like, at first I found it really funny and thought, oh, that's something I can now talk about. I've been in singing sand. But then when we were going to try and find the waterfall, I was like a bit shaky a bit worried that am I going to stand on a bit of ground and is it going to disappear? And Jamie's going ahead of me and like checking all of the footings and making sure everything's okay. But that's why I say, you know, if you're going to go and do something like this, you really must go with somebody.
Yeah, and have your wits about you. And like you say, you know, it just makes you a bit unsure then, doesn't it, on your footing? So that a bit nervous.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it didn't last long, did it? You were probably okay the next day.
No, I was rescued
whatever.
Within 2 seconds. Yes. And luckily, Jamie knows how to switch my brain to stop thinking about things like that. So, yeah, it was fine.
I mean, it sounds like fun. And then you've got somebody there to rescue you, which, like you say, have somebody with you. So on this trip, talking about comfort zones and taking yourself out of a comfort zone, did you feel like you were out of your comfort zone at all? Or because you were in that camper van and it was comfortable, do you not feel you were?
The first night was strange. If you think about parking a car up at the side of the road and sleeping in it, like, you just wouldn't. Mm. Somebody could smash the window or, I don't know, do anything. Mm. So that felt quite weird the very first night. But I think on the second night, when we'd seen lots of other vans just doing the same thing, it was like, oh, this is just what everybody does. Mm. And really, nobody else would be up there unless they were doing something like that anyway. Yeah. I would think, I would hope. So no, with regards to some of the hikes, they were quite hard going. So that was maybe pushing a little bit outside of the comfort zone. And there was a waterfall. I love getting in water, and like, I used to swim every single day or dip every single day in the sea, come rain or shine, sleet, snow, hail, whatever. But there was one waterfall that was quite ferocious. Jamie being Jamie, he's stripped straight in there. And I'm like, I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to get in there. But I think in the back of my head, because I'd had that little slip a few days beforehand, and maybe I was thinking a bit like, don't be an idiot, because if I go over, that Jamie's then got to get me out, and, you know, then I'm going to hurt myself, then I'm not going to be able to do anything else. So I think in the back of my mind, I was a little bit like, no, don't do it. But so I didn't. But the climb down to that waterfall, that was like something else. We were literally on the side of a cliff.
Really?
Yeah. Climbing along the side of the cliff. So that was quite
edge of cliff stuff.
Yeah, that was literally hairy. Not that you could have really fallen too far, but you still could have really hurt yourself. And that was torrential rain, and I think that made it worse because everything felt slippery and maybe my footwear choice. I had hiking shoes on, not hiking boots, and I did think to myself, maybe the next time I'll do boots instead. Just
so there is going to be a next time then.
Oh, absolutely. I reckon there's so much more. Jamie, I was so gutted. Jamie found this amethyst purple cave on the route of the North 500 after we'd come back. And I was like, right, so we definitely need to go and do that again.
Get some amethyst.
Yeah.
It's probably not allowed, though.
Oh, listen, I was taking rocks from everywhere. Little pebbles off the beach. That's coming in the bathroom.
It was a bit, I was like that when I was in Australia, when we went to Cooper Pedy in the middle of Australia, and it's opal mines everywhere.
Oh.
Don't take anything. It's like, okay, just take a little bit. Nobody will notice.
Yeah.
A tiny little bit. You just have to, don't you?
You do.
Sometimes
it's the memory, isn't it?
Yes,
and it's
of course,
the energy from that moment in time that you're taking home with you.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I don't blame you at all. That's what I was going to ask you. Was there a point at all when you thought, right, I've had enough, get me to a hotel?
No, did you ever get that feeling? I've got a really funny story. So Jamie had a live, I can't think what it's called, like a live podcast, but it's like a stage thing. My brain's gone mad. Anyway, so we had to find a hotel room with some Wi-Fi and a backdrop so that he could do this session. So he was releasing a therapy in a book and he was speaking on stage. And it literally went Les Brown, Mimi Brown, Jamie Kerr. So we could not do that in a camper van. Like, that could not happen. So we were running around Thurso, trying to find a hotel room just so that we had a backdrop. And the pair of us that night, there's this beautiful hotel room. We can sleep in there in the beds. And we both went, should we go back to the van? Because it was just freeing. That sense of freedom outweighed everything else. And we didn't. We ended up staying in the hotel, and I'm really, really glad we did, because we would never have seen it. In the morning, as we went back to the van, as we walked round, the van was kind of parked on this big river, and there was seals lining up all down the river. So we got to stand there for like 30 minutes and watch the seals playing. And
that's amazing. Yeah, like you said, you probably wouldn't have spotted that.
Because it would have been dark. We wouldn't have seen them. And then we'd have left first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
So, and it was great to have a really good hot shower.
Yes. I was going to say, it's about the home comforts, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it was all right for a while. Because how long did you do the trip for? How many days?
We were out on the road for about 5 days.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. So it is nice to have that. Just to have, like you say, just have a nice shower. And
I totally didn't need it.
No, you didn't need it.
And if Jamie wasn't doing that seminar, we wouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
so,
at all.
No.
Yeah. I know, I did wonder, because I was thinking when I was travelling myself, I know I was away for a long time, but every now and again I'd book the hostel and I'd have a single room to myself.
Aww.
And I'd have, you know, a bathroom to myself as well. And I just do that now and again.
Yeah.
Just for a bit of comfort on my own, just to have the space. And I know you weren't away that long, but I was just thinking because of the ruggedness and what you were doing, you know, sometimes it's just nice to have a little bit of comfort.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, it was nice to be there, but you didn't need it.
No, the van was honestly, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was really good.
So you took enough clothes for the time you were away.
Yeah.
Did you have to then pack? It was all about packing all like the duvets, all that type of thing that you would normally take in.
Yeah. And I think some of the things that we really forgot about that I reminded, because my daughter-in-law for my son's birthday just paid for them to have a camper van and they didn't do the full thing. They just did a little bit of it. But that was a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And so I was thinking, right, what did I forget that I really needed? And it was things like washing up sponge, washing up liquid, tea towels, like all those little things that you just don't think about. Microfiber towels so that they dried quicker, because we were like, in the sea or in a waterfall or in a river or in Devil's Pulpit. Like, we were in and out of water constantly. And we kind of had to plan that. Okay, what part of the water are we going to go in today? Because we can't keep getting wet and dry. We haven't got enough clothes for that. And then it was just a case of layers. So, like, making sure you've got a base layer, making sure you've got enough socks, enough underwear, enough trousers, shorts, just in case you're nipping out to do something. Like when we went down to the beach, although it wasn't warm enough for shorts, it was just easier for us to just chuck a pair of shorts on, get in the water, chuck the shorts back on, get back in the van, then get dressed nice and warm. So it's just really about thinking about what we wanted to do. And
what time of year did you go? Wasn't it August, September?
Like, yeah, it wasn't. Winter was not too far away. I can't remember. I think it was September. Yeah, it was September.
Yeah. So, of course, the summer's just going. But
yeah, but we did have 2 days. It was beautiful. Really good sunshine.
Yeah.
We had one day where it rained in just in the afternoon. We had another day where it just absolutely poured it down. But we just didn't care. Like,
I love the sound of it.
Don't want to. You know, like when you're going somewhere in the car and you think, oh, I don't want to get out because it's nice and warm in the car and it's pouring of rain out there and my hair's going to get wet and my makeup's going to run. And you just don't have that feeling, the freedom of hair's in a ponytail.
Don't
it
care.
Doesn't matter. We're, you know, baseball cap on, let's go. And it was, yeah, you're itching to get out the van to see what you're going to see next.
I bet it was wonderful though as well, even as you were driving along, just looking at the views.
Oh, we saw so much.
Yeah.
Typically, and one of the things that really shocked us is, or shocked me, is when I ever go anywhere, I look on Pinterest because lots of people do like little guides to where to go and what to see. And whenever I've looked at those, Jamie does YouTube. He'll like sit and research on YouTube and I'll sit and have a look on Pinterest. And people were doing like one, maybe two things a day, if that. We were doing like 4 or 5 things a day. And on the way to things, there was other things that we could just stop and hop out the van and have a look at and just catch some amazing sights and some amazing scenery. It was just phenomenal.
Just wanted to literally capture it all and make the most of the time you were there.
100%.
Intrepid explorers, by the sounds of it. So talking about the route then, would you say it's expensive? Could it be done on a budget?
I think the van is probably the most expensive thing. Because you can do it really, really cheap. Petrol, obviously you're having to put petrol in. But I was really shocked. I thought the van would guzzle petrol and it didn't seem that expensive. You do have to be very, very careful. You cannot let petrol get low because there are parts of Scotland where there's no petrol stations for like 4 hours.
That's what I was going to ask you as well, is, you know, what's the distance, you know, for, say, they were two women, you know, traveling out there.
Careful.
It's about just that spacing in between
stopping points,
I suppose.
So I, looking on, and this is why it was so great that I was with Jamie, him being Scottish and understanding Scotland, I would see on the maps, on Google Maps, oh, there's a petrol station there. And typically, right up on the north of Scotland, it's not a petrol station. It's a petrol pump in somebody's garden.
Amazing.
So if they let anyone other than locals have it, great. If it's even got petrol in it, great. But the chance of finding that and getting petrol out of it is like none.
Wow.
So you have to be really, really mindful. Girls going alone, definitely take a drum of petrol, like one of those little cans.
Have it.
And have that in the car, just, or in the van, just in case. But, you know, if you get into a healthy habit of, like, if it gets down to halfway, you fill up, you're constantly mindful and stopping and you don't make the mistake of not watching that dial, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Just let it go so far.
Yeah.
And then every time you see a station, then just refuel. Makes sense. So it can be done on a budget. It's not going to cost the earth, like you said. And if you've got your own car, your own van or whatever, then you haven't even got the cost of hiring a vehicle.
No.
If you. So that's good to know.
Us eating, so we eat, we treat ourselves, don't get us wrong, but we eat quite clean and we love steak. We eat a lot of steak. So those barbecues were absolutely amazing because it cooked the steak really, really well. And it also meant that we wasn't wasting time looking for where can we get food? Mm. Where can we eat dinner? We had everything on the van. So it was just a case of, oh, we're hungry. Well, let's pull over and eat.
Stop and cook.
Yeah. Whereas probably if I was planning it, I would have been like, oh, we'll wing it and just get food on the go. And I would have come into a bit of a sticky situation and I'd have been very hungry.
Sandwich up from the petrol station. Yeah. Back to Christmas.
That's exactly what it would have been like, yeah. I think. But no, that was really good.
Oh. I mean, it does sound wonderful what you did. You know, really free and like you said. And so on top of all of that then, what about, are there specific landmarks that you would say, just don't miss this, make sure you go here, make sure you go there?
Yeah, there was so much. So the very first day, our first stop was one of my favourites. It was Devil's Pulpit.
Oh.
And the water, the rocks underneath are red. So the water shines bright red. And you have to like climb down all these like really big boulders that are kind of positioned as steps. And once you get down there, oh my God, it's phenomenal.
And it's red, you said?
Yeah, it's red.
Where does that come from then? It's from the stone, I suppose.
Yeah. So we stopped there and we swam in there and that was just phenomenal. And I would tell everybody to go there. There was quite a few. There was a monument. I think it's like Fiscal Monument. That was phenomenal. That's a really hard hike. Mm. So, you know,
would you suggest walking sticks, walking poles?
I don't use them. I've never used them. So I don't know. I would suggest boots over shoes, 100%. The ankle didn't have enough support. Mm. But that was really, really good fun. Chandery Point, which is a beach right at the very, very top. You have to go, but you have to look at the tide times because if you get it right, which we did, you get to see all the dolphins swimming in the sea.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, dolphins in England, like you just wouldn't even ever think it. And we saw a couple of sea lions as well. So we were really, yeah.
So dolphins in Scotland.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The very last waterfall that we went to, Wailing Widows.
Oh, yes.
That was phenomenal. Like the energy that came off that waterfall was just amazing. Like it literally hit you in the face. I felt like, you know, when you see on a film set where a girl's hair is like all blowing in. I felt like that with the water. Shmoo Cave was brilliant. That had a really amazing waterfall in. Inverness.
So there's plenty to see all around, and everything that you've mentioned there, I'll make sure goes into the show notes with links for people.
I think the thing about Inverness, right up the very top, John O'Groats, it's very commercialised, and so once we got there, I was a bit like, "Oh, is this it?" But then, if you're standing staring at the sea, to the right of you, there's like a little walkway that you can go off and have a wander. And so, Jamie and I love him walking. Off we went. That was phenomenal.
Was it?
Yeah. We could walk right up to the cliff's edge, and look down at the sea, and it's where like the North Sea meets another sea, and the energy ripping through those seas were just phenomenal. And the same at Smoo Cave. The cave was very commercialized, but I loved seeing the waterfall that was there. It was beautiful. And the energy coming off of that, like literally hitting you in the face, you come out soaking wet. But there was a walk up the top of that, and Jamie and I sat on the edge of the cliff and watch the waves crashing and bashing around, and that was just
sounds
phenomenal
wonderful.
As well.
Sounds
one
wonderful.
Thing I will say about Chandery Point is if you've got a camper van, you cannot go down the bottom, so you have to park up the top and walk down.
Is that,
But well worth it.
Yeah.
Well worth it.
Amazing. Like I said, I put all that in the show notes. So a couple of things I want to ask you now then is from that trip, did you learn anything about yourself? You know, so that the fact that you're saying how freeing it was and the freedom you had, did you learn anything about yourself while while you were doing something like that? Because, you know, thinking about the open space and the freedom of being able to do that and being out in it as well and being so close to nature, being close to the earth, you know, with all that earthing that goes on, obviously, when you're barefooted. And I can imagine it just, yeah, felt amazing.
It really did. One of the things that I learned about myself just before, well, previous to this trip, is I climbed Mount Snowdon. Mm-hmm. And when I got down the bottom, I realised that on that climb, I hadn't thought about anything or anyone else the whole climb, because all I was concerned about was where to put the next foot. Me and my best friend did it together, and Georgia and I took the wrong route, and we ended up literally climbing with our hands up this blooming waterfall. And oh my gosh, yeah, not the route we should have taken at all, especially with Rex the puppy, not even 1 year old. A bit of a girl malfunction there. We should have researched. So yeah, girls research, whatever you're doing. But I realised that being out in that nature and getting to the bottom and realising I hadn't thought about anything, I realised for the very first time I'd been able to meditate. Because I've always had a go at myself about meditation. Oh, my brain's not quiet enough. Everyone else seems to be able to just do it and I can't, and my brain doesn't shut off and I don't get peace from meditation. It just winds me up. And I realised that that clearly is my form of meditation. So I really fed into that fact in Scotland and really tried to think about things that I hadn't had time to think about, or just use the time when I was walking to think, where's my next foot going, so that I wasn't thinking, a skill that I had obviously just learned. But the biggest kind of, not surprise, because it's definitely not a surprise, but the biggest thing was I don't think I'd realised how stressed I was.
Oh.
And like, if you speak to my husband, he would say to you, that trip, it was a different gen. I was so calm and so just free, and I could think and I could breathe and I could be without anybody needing anything from me. I think, you know, when you go into a meditation and it all starts off and it says, you have nowhere to be and nobody needs you. And as soon as that happens, I think, what a load of rubbish. I've got six places to be and everybody needs me. And that's why I cannot meditate. But
I'm the same as you with that, yes.
But that, I had nowhere to be. It was wherever the van stopped next. I had nobody that needed me. You know, the dog was with somebody that looking after him. The kids were with other people that were looking after them. My son's grown up and doing his own thing. I had nothing and no one or anything that needed me. So that created calm in my mind.
Fantastic.
And just allowed me to just...
You can't pay for
be.
That, can you? You just cannot pay for it. But I'm exactly with you on meditation. I'm not a meditator. I meditate via walking or cycling or even exercise when I do my workouts in the morning. I find that's when I can really get into my own zone.
Do you know, I'm going to blow your mind away here. So I said this to my husband about meditation and he said, it's because you're doing it wrong. And I was like, why am I, I'm not doing it wrong. How am I doing it wrong? And he said to me, when you go into meditation and thoughts pop up, that is meditation telling you they're the things you should be working on. That's the inner work you should be doing, because that's the things that are troubling and bothering you. So if you just view it, that actually it's not noise, and stop trying to shut it down, allow that thought to pop up, write it down, and then you've got a list of all the inner work that you should be doing for yourself.
Right.
Those things start getting ticked off the list and now they're not popping up anymore.
Okay.
Then there's nothing to pop up.
I'll give it another go.
Yeah.
Let you know how I get on.
I love it now because I have that in my head. I can just write, okay, that's something that's bothering me or troubling me.
So you've
me.
Got
I can
your
work
routine down now and you can do that. I will give it a go. I shall try. What's your best memory of the trip?
Oh.
I bet there's too many, really, is there?
There is. There really, really is. So I'm probably going to... There was three. So the first one was Devil's Pulpit.
Oh, yes.
Going in there and getting in that water and feeling so alive. And it was raining. It was horrible weather, but it was just phenomenal. Like when my eyes first see that, because we first saw it from the top looking down, I was like, oh, my God. The dolphins.
Oh, yes.
100% was like a massive... And we've got some really lovely pictures because the sun was just setting. And basically you time it where the tide is either going in or out so that there's fish in the sea where, you, like, literally right at that point. And that means all the dolphins come in to the shore and that's how you can see them. So you really must look at when's the tide going in or out and really research that so you get to see them. And then the very first... It was either the first or the second night. We'd put the bed down. We'd got like a little, like really nice little torch on, kind of like candlelight. And we'd like just cuddled up into bed. And it was just like, just putting down any worries or troubles or anything that I needed to go home and think about or go home and do. It was just that moment of, we are in the middle of nowhere. It is pitch black. We've just eaten an amazing steak. It is just us. There is nobody needing anything or wanting anything. And we could just be ourselves.
Isn't that fantastic though as well, especially in today's world, because everybody has got somewhere to be 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, we're always chasing, you know, and we try to get away from that and we try to become stress-free. Yeah. And sometimes that just doesn't happen. And sometimes you just need a trip like this, even if it's just for a day or 2 days, just to reset and rebalance.
Yeah.
And to have that, the ability to be able to do that and just let it all go.
Yeah.
It's so good for the soul.
Oh, it is 100%.
Absolutely so good for the soul. So I love that. I'm glad you said about that. So what we need to do now then is, have you got two or three practical tips that we can pass on to our listeners?
Okay. So really researching the route so that you can do everything you want to do. My son and his girlfriend, when they did it the other week, they didn't research it and they didn't get to see very much. And although they'll go back, and for them, the daylight, and that I think is another really good tip. The daylight was short because it was November. Whereas in the summer, you've got maximum daylight hours.
Yes.
You get to travel further. They had to stop so much sooner, like, because you don't want to drive that route in the dark because you're missing everything. So definitely go in the summer so that you've got maximum daylight hours. And then try your absolute hardest to come away from normal life. Cook food on a disposable barbecue. Don't eat in a restaurant. Yes. You know, we didn't go to campsites to stay out in the nature on purpose. You know, it was lovely that Jamie had to do that session and, you know, we had a nice time, don't get me wrong, but we wouldn't have chosen to have done that.
It wasn't a necessity.
No.
Like when I said to you about, you know, did you want to get into a hotel because you just about had enough, and it wasn't because of that. There was a reason behind it.
Yeah.
And you definitely wouldn't have done it.
No, definitely not. So really just being as free as possible and having no expectations, because I think as you're driving down from one place to the other, wherever your route's taking you, whatever you've planned, you will see so much more than what you thought you would ever see. And Jamie was really good. Like every time he saw something, he would just pull off and that would be that. Like we went and we saw a bridge and we just stopped to go and have a look at this bridge. And then we climbed down and through these rocks. And then we ended up seeing all this other, like these other waterfalls and this beautiful lake. And
which you wouldn't have seen.
No.
Had you not stopped.
No.
I love a bridge myself.
There's so many beautiful bridges in Scotland.
Yeah.
There really is. But we didn't see the Loch Ness Monster, so that was really sad.
Oh, no. I'm surprised you're not still there trying to find it. Brilliant. Thanks for that. Do you have any resources or apps that you could recommend to our listeners if they wanted to? I mean, I'm going to put some links anyway into the show notes, but is there anything specific that you used while you were away or not really?
No, maps we used a lot.
Yes.
We did use that to see where petrol stations were, to see how far it was from one place to the next. And we used that a lot in the planning. Uh-huh. So when I drew out the top half of Scotland, yeah. I pinpointed where everything was.
Yeah.
And then I timed on maps how long it would take to drive from one place to the next.
Great idea.
And then wrote the time slots down in the gaps between the two places. Just so that we knew kind of, okay, well, there's 6 hours of driving that day. Maybe we stop here instead of there and rest up. And so we could really, really plan it. And then, yeah, just really, it was just maps. I don't think we used anything else apart from our phone to take pictures. We really tried to
stay off grid.
Yeah, we did. We did post a few stories on Instagram, but not many. Most of the pictures are still on my phone, haven't even been seen.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. We are running out of time, unfortunately, but do you have a message of inspiration that you could give to the solo female travellers who would love to do this, but just don't really have the courage or the confidence? They just need that bit of a, you know, bit of inspiration to actually go out and do it themselves.
Like I said earlier on, I think it's not a trip to do just by yourself. Mm. I think you should go with somebody. So looking at that from, you know, how would I go about that? I would probably join a hiking club, a women's hiking club. There's lots of them around all over the place. And there's an app I think it's called Meetup.
Yes.
That there's lots of hiking clubs on there. And predominantly, I mean, they'll say to you whether they're female only or not. Mm-hmm. I would then start using the hiking club and make friends and then suggest, you know, does anybody want to come on this trip with me? I'm planning it. Do you fancy like getting involved? It would be great fun. And then that's probably how I would go. Or just taking a best friend. I'm really lucky, you know, Georgia, my best friend, she loves doing stuff like that. So she's just happy to just, and we're so last minute. Like literally one day we were having a chat and then 3 days later we were climbing Mount Snowdon.
You were off.
Yeah, like literally climbing the damn thing. No prep, nothing. Didn't even know where we were going. Like,
oh, I
love it.
We're
very much like that.
Yes.
But I think if you don't have the luxury of that, then finding somebody in one of
those. That's a great idea. Facebook groups as well. Yeah. You could find lots of Facebook groups.
Or running groups. My daughter was talking to me yesterday about doing this female running group in our local area. And that's, you know, people that run love walking as well. So it, just really finding
Absolutely.
Somebody.
Yes, you can find those groups. Oh, Jen Jo, it's been great talking to you. We've literally run out of time. And I think that's the perfect place to stop, actually. Yeah. So giving our listeners some advice on how they can contact others to go on a similar trip. Because it can be daunting if it's something you've never done before. And to do it in your own country, maybe, is a lot easier than maybe just going further afield.
Yeah.
So this has been, I think that's this, you know, this has been amazing for women to think about, all right, I don't have to go flying off anywhere. I can actually do it in my own country.
Well, it builds confidence, doesn't
it?
Once
absolutely.
You've done it in the UK and, you know, you've built that friendship with somebody, maybe that friend will go to the next place and the next place with you.
Yes.
And you've built confidence in yourself and your ability to do things.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree with that. So thank you very much. It's been absolutely brilliant. And just to let you know that all of Jen's information will be in the show notes. Until next time, thanks for listening. And that concludes this episode of Wanderlust Diaries, celebrating the fearless spirit of solo female travellers who are 40 and beyond. I hope you found inspiration, valuable insights and a renewed sense of wanderlust. Thank you to all our incredible listeners who have joined us on this exciting journey. Remember, age should never stop your quest for adventure because the world is waiting for you to explore its wonders. And don't forget to join our community on social media to connect with fellow travellers and subscribe and review us on your favourite podcast platform. All links are in the show notes. Keep dreaming, keep exploring, and stay fearless. Until next time, this is Terry Reynolds signing off from Wanderlust Diaries. Psst, don't keep me a secret. Please tell your friends and fellow travellers.